It is time for the Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ, meeting at the four-way stop in Caneyville, Kentucky. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets for Bible study on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and worship at 10:45. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5. We meet for Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you'd like to ask a Bible question or schedule a Bible study, please feel free to call 589-4167. Your speaker today is Jared Jacobs.
And welcome to this another edition of the Ancient Landmark. My name is Jared Jacobs, and I'm glad to be with you. So thankful for this opportunity we have to open up God's Word and to study together. I encourage you, if you will, to get a Bible out and follow along with the things we're going to study as we spend time together in the book of God. We're going to be studying from 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 specifically here in just a moment. So if you have opportunity, get a Bible out, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read along with us. And not only this, if you'd like to take any notes, you're welcome certainly to take notes and to ask Bible questions. You can ask about 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You can ask any other Bible-related question if you'd like. Just call me, 589-4167. You can call, you can text. I'd love to hear from you and love to talk to you about these things of a spiritual nature and to study and to talk about things so that we can grow closer to God. Well, we got a real treat today because not only is it an opportunity to teach, but I got some friends with me today. Some, of course, you'll be familiar with. We got our friend Jordan here. Jordan Lawson's come and to be with us today. And so say hi to everyone, Jordan.
Hello, all. I'm very thankful to be here today. Study God's Word.
And glad he's here. And we also have another friend with us, and this is Brother Lanny Smith. And Lanny hails from around Indianapolis, just north of Indianapolis, Indiana, and glad he could be here with us today.
So I'm glad to be here, too. I used to do radio when I was over in Cumberland County a lot, so it's good to be back in the saddle, so to speak.
Yes, well, I'm glad to have you here with us, and he did. He preached for quite a while over in Cumberland County around Burksville, and glad he's here with us today. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we're going to start. And Lanny, I'll let you go ahead and jump in and kind of read the verse to us. What's going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and what do we need to know about this in order to study it?
Okay, well, I'm going to zero in on verses, say, 14 through 21 in the middle of the chapter. And Paul is actually issuing a warning here against idolatry. You can see that in verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And then he launches into this comparison between the worship of idols and the worship of the Lord through the communion. And he talks about how that in each case you're having communion with either the idol or you're having communion with the Lord. So that's the context here. And I just think there's some fascinating lessons here that helps us to understand the nature of the communion or the Lord's Supper. So let's read those verses. He says, verse 14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then, that an idol is anything, or what's offered to an idol is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. And so that's the text right there. And there's a lot there about the nature of the communion. And I want to kind of break that down into four thoughts. And I'll kind of introduce this first thought. And it's found in verses 17 and 18. And that is the fact that there is one body in the communion. He says, we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. I think it's important to illustrate here or to say here that anytime you see that phrase one body in the Bible, it is always talking about the universal church. You see the word church is used in a couple of senses in the scriptures. You have the universal church, which is the entire family of God, all the way around the world, really stretching back through time all the way to Pentecost is the universal church. It is not separated by death at all. It continues to exist, but it is the entire family of God. It's not a local church. And so in the communion, he's telling us here that the communion extends beyond the walls of a local congregation. Now, I'm going to throw that thought out there and let you guys run with that.
Well, isn't that fascinating to think about? And here he says, we are one body. Here, verse 17 and 18, to have that one body. And Jordan, we see that over and over again in the scripture, really, don't we? The idea of one, O-N-E, one body. And when Christ came into the world, and he came to establish his church, of course, and it's connected with salvation because he's saving his people. Obviously, Matthew 26:28, he comes and his blood is shed to save people, giving them remission of sins. But in that process, you're being added to his church. In that process, you're being put into that relationship with him. And so like Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 4 talks about when we read, we can understand. And so in chapter 4 then, what's discussed? You remember in chapter 4 of Ephesians, there is something said about the body of Christ, if you remember.
Yeah, and Ephesians 4, we hear that term, one body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says, there is one body, and there's one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And that's the one body that Christ died for, so that that body can be saved. And the Bible says there's one body.
And so whenever you back up like to chapter 1, same book, Ephesians chapter 1, and you back up there, you read about there being a head. Christ is the head. The church is his body. And so when we talk about this, now what is the one body before we get to, I don't want to get away from this till we really delve into this for a moment, gentlemen. But when we think about the one body, we say, all right, well, Christ is the head and the church is his body. That's kind of the illustration right there. Then if Christ is the one that's the head, then he, and I think about that relationship, then really how does he control, or does he control us? Does Christ control us in any way then? Or are we just kind of on our own to do what we want to?
Yeah, well, I think the whole purpose of that metaphor, and that's what it is, it's a figure of speech, it's a metaphor. The church is not literally the body of Christ, but it's like a body. And just as your body answers to your head, to your brain, so the body of Christ answers to Jesus. We're not, as you suggested, or as you were questioning there a while ago, I know you don't believe this, but we're not left on our own is the point. We answer to Jesus, we respond to Jesus, we obey Jesus. And so that's why that body figure is so important.
So we being many are one body, one bread and one body, he says. We're all partakers of that one bread. This is 1 Corinthians 10:17 again, just back to our text. And so here he is with one body for the moment. Now, what constitutes the body then, I guess, would be my next question. Is there any passage, Jordan, you think there'd be any passage at all that would tell us what constitutes the body? Because I think a lot of times folks have the impression that, well, you know, all these different churches today, there's so many thousands of churches out there today. All right, and so here's a Baptist church and a Methodist church and a Catholic church and an Episcopal church, Episcopalians and the Pentecostals and just go down the list. And I'm not trying to leave anybody out, but you know, you just go down the list. Church of Christ, Christian church, just name all these, and you put all these in a big sack, and that's all the body. Now, what is that? Does the Bible teach us in that way? Because, I mean, I guess that'd be something we need to know whenever he says you're partaking in your one body. You know, one bread and one body, 1 Corinthians 10:17.
Yeah.
So with that, what is the one body then? And I think that's going to help us understand this verse too.
Absolutely. Excellent question. I mean, you think about that one body, you know, we don't see in the scriptures where Christ says there's multiple bodies or there's multiple ways. We just read there's one body. And if you go to the book of Acts chapter 2, I have a New American Standard Bible, but we read in verse 38 that Peter, when he was preaching to these people about, you know, the fact that they crucified Jesus, they asked, what do we need to do? Peter said, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we see in verse 41, they were baptized, 3,000 souls were added. And then verse 47 of Acts chapter 2 says, the Lord was adding to the church, some versions say, their number day by day, those who were being saved. So we don't see multiple ways. We see the plan and we see people obey that plan, and God adds to the church those who are being saved. Hope that answers your question.
Okay.
Yeah. What? Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, just a couple chapters over from where we're studying, he tells us how we enter that one body. He says, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. That links in with what you said in Acts 2. We're baptized into Christ, baptized into his body. So those who've been baptized for the remission of sins, they constitute that one body. Now, I want to bring this back real quick to this idea of the communion and emphasize the fact that Paul is stressing here that the communion is broader than a local church. We tend to just kind of limit it. We tend to think it's just a local communion. It is not. To make this real, when we have communion, the saints at Caneyville are having communion with the saints at Round Hill, who are having communion with saints in Morgantown. We're all having communion with the Lord on the first day of the week. And so I want you to get that picture, that communion extends out to the entire body. One body has communion, not one local church. There's no such thing as one local church. There are many local churches, but one universal body has communion all over the world. And Paul, as he writes this, he uses the word we there. He says in verse 17, he says, and I'm in 1 Corinthians 10, we though many are one body. The we brings Paul into it. Well, Paul isn't at Corinth.
He wasn't there then, was he?
He was at Ephesus.
He was writing that letter from Ephesus to Corinth.
And he says, yet we're one body.
How about
that? Yeah, so that extends it beyond. And he even, in verse 18, he compares it to Israel after the flesh, the nation. You know, there were 12 tribes, but he wasn't talking about a tribe. He was talking about the entire nation. They all partook of the same altar, the entire nation.
Now, how could you do that? Sacrifices and partakers of the altar, are they not which eat of the sacrifices? Well, how did that happen? Well, you had all the nation involved. And over in the book of Galatians describes God's people, his one body, his one church, describes that as spiritual Israel, and specifically says the Israel of God. So you have here God's people described as spiritual Israel today. And then here's this comparison with physical Israel back years ago. But the one body, and this part here just fascinates me for that reason, because how many folks are confused by that? And again, we say, well, here's one body. Somebody says, well, you know, Jesus said, I'm the vine, and my Father, and you're the branches. And so all these branches, why, you're, John chapter 15, beginning verse 1, and you have, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and so there's one branch that's the Catholics, and one branch that's the Baptists, one branch that's the Pentecostals, and you know, see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you just have all these different branches, and people say, well, there you go, you're all different branches, and you're all off the same vine. I mean, after all, you go your way, and I'll go my way, you make your decision, I'll make my decision, and we're all in the same vine. I mean, Lanny, really, we're in the same vine, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what's said, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what's said, but I'm not sure I buy that. If you actually look at the text, he says in John 15, verse 5, he who abides in me and I in him. It's not churches that abide in the vine, such as Baptists abiding in the vine, Methodists abiding. It's individuals. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me. This is dealing with individuals. That universal church is made up of individuals, not congregations, not denominations.
Yes, absolutely. It's every person. It's not this church, another church, another church. It's Bill and Sally and Hannah and Sarah and Johnny. And
yeah.
See, that's what that is. That's what Jesus is describing in John 15. What Jordan described just a moment ago in Acts 2. And whenever those folks praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved, Acts 2:47, he added to the church. What did he add? Who did he add? People, individuals. He says, to the church. And that comes back to your point, Lanny. When he added to the church, then he's adding in a broader sense than just saying, Caneyville.
Right.
Or Corinth or Ephesus or Colossae.
Yeah.
It's a broader sense than that. It's more. And so you come back here, we mean many are one bread and one body. The Lord's Supper will unite in that sense. Unite, bring together, have communion, or a breakdown of that has to do with sharing, I've heard it also said, a common union. Mm-hmm. It's a communion. It's just squashing together two words, common and union. And you have a union or unity together with fellow brethren that you didn't have before or wouldn't have otherwise, I put it that way. You have that together in partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, I want to ask something real quick of folks, and then you men jump back in. But I want to ask folks this question, and you feel free to call me, text me, and answer however you like. But are you partaking of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day? Are you doing that every Lord's Day? See, the Bible tells us to, and shows us by example in Acts 20 and verse 7, and I won't get too far away from 1 Corinthians, but Acts 20 and verse 7, they partook on the Lord's Day. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they were taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week there. That's another example. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we could talk about others. But are you doing that on the Lord's Day? Are you doing it every Lord's Day? Have you made some excuse as to why it's not necessary? Have you made some excuse about why you don't need to do it but once a year, twice a year, once a month, or once a quarter? Or are you doing what the Lord said? See, think about that. And if you're not doing it, and your church is not doing it the way the Lord said, can you really say that you're in communion? Can you really say you're in communion with God? Think seriously about that, folks. These are serious matters that deserve our attention. Well, jump back into this and let's talk some more about this subject, the Lord's Supper.
Okay. Well, we talked about the one body, but there's also, in this text, 1 Corinthians 10, there's one table in communion, one table. And probably can introduce this real quick. He says in verse 19, "What am I saying then, that an idol is anything, or what's offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. You can't drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. You can't take of the Lord's table and the table of demons." And so he brings in two tables in this mm-hmm. context, the Lord's table and the table of demons. Notice the plural there, demons. I believe it's my conviction the word demon there is being used in the sense of a pagan deity. That word demon had two meanings. And in this context, they were worshiping idols, worshiping pagan deities. But notice the plural. It didn't make any difference which demon it was, which deity it was, whether it was Zeus or Apollos or whatever deity it was. It was one table. It was one yes. table. They all yes. took of the table of demons. And likewise, on the other side, on the truth side of this, there's the Lord's table.
Lord's table.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Well, about that Lord's table. And we're going to take a break here in just a moment. But I want folks to think about this while we're having our little commercial. And that is this. Where is that table located? I mean, if it's the Lord's table, where is that table? I mean, is it in America? Is it in Kentucky? Is it in Florida? Is it in Israel? Is it in China? Where is the Lord's table then? Because he says, in verse 21, he talks about partakers of the Lord's table. And that's what Lanny just introduced. Think about that. Where is it? Is it, what town is it in? What city, what state, what country, what continent? Where is it? We'll come back to that here in just a moment, but I want to remind you that this program is brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets together on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:45 for morning worship, and 5 in the afternoon for worship. We also meet Wednesday night at 7 for a period of Bible study. And you'll be our honored guest if you come and be with us at any and every time that you can. We meet right across the road from the Sacramento Bank there in Caneyville in Grayson County. We meet near the four-way stop, intersection of Highway 62 and Highway 79. We'd love to see you. Love for you to come be with us. Love for you to visit and come and to spend time with us. to study God's Word, sing, pray, and all. And if you have any questions about what we do or why we do it, please ask. And know that you are welcome to ask your Bible questions. And more than likely, if you come, and I hope that you do, more than likely if you come and you sit down and so forth and listen, probably either before or even after the services, somebody like me might come up to you and say, "Do you have any questions?" I mean, that's how ready we are to ask. We won't even wait for you to ask. We'll ask you, "Do you have any questions?" Because we just want to do things the way the Lord says. We want everything to be open and out in the public. The truth has nothing to fear, my friend. And so we want to just do what the Lord says. We also have a Bible correspondence course. You're welcome to get that. And again, call me, 589-4167. You can call, you can text me, and I just need your address. I'll send it to you absolutely free. You can have correspondence course. The website is available to you 24 hours a day, CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com. And also, if you just like to have a sit-down Bible study, where we just kind of sit down at the kitchen table and talk about God's Word. Again, contact me. I'd love to talk to you. Love to study. And I promise you, you call me, you're not bothering me, you're not interrupting me, you're not messing up my day. This is what I'm here for. I'm here to talk to you. I'm here to study that we might learn and know what God has said and follow it all the days of our life. So please come be with us. The Caneyville Church of Christ, come visit just as soon as you can. We'd love to see you. Let's jump back into our study. And we left a moment ago asking this question, and Lanny, you're listening to this as well. Maybe we can help the folks out on this. This one table in communion. Now, where is that? He says it's partaker of the Lord's table. Where is that table? Is it is it where you live? Where is it?
Okay, well, that's a very important point that you're trying to bring up here, and that is this idea of the table is not a literal table; it's a concept. Just as the one body extends all the way around the world. Now, think with me, and Paul even said here in verse 15, I speak as to wise men, judge for yourselves. He's saying, use your brains. Think about this for a second. One worldwide body sits down at one worldwide table. We're all sitting at the same table on the first day of the week. It's not a literal table. It's not located in Caneyville. It's not located in Indianapolis. It's not located in any specific place. It's a metaphorical table that stretches all the way around the world, and every single Christian sits down at that table on the first day of the week. Now, there's a passage on this in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 22. And in the context, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. We won't read them, but in verse 19 and 20, he talked about, this is my body which is given. In verse 20, this is my blood which is shed for you. And so he instituted the Lord's Supper. And you just drop down a few verses here to verse 29 and 30. And he says, I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Think about that. Sitting down at the Lord's table. And he's talking about the whole kingdom here. The whole kingdom sitting down at the Lord's table. Not just the local church. Not just the local body. But the entire church.
What do you think about that, Jordan? Have you ever been approached like that? What would you say to somebody that wants to talk about the table in that way?
Absolutely. I mean, excellent question. I have been approached, and I've had conversations with people. And I mean, I couldn't have said it better than Lanny said it. I mean, it's speaking about a metaphorical table, because as you asked earlier, if we're going to take it as a literal table, where is that one table at? Where is that one table located at? Mm-hmm. And we see Paul in this passage, he's using the table of the Lord and the table as demons to talk about in a metaphorical sense. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same thing we could ask. Well, and a couple of things that come to my mind. Somebody says, well, you don't understand, the table's in heaven. All right? Well, if the table's in heaven, we still have the same issue, because I'm not. So how are we supposed to sit down at the table if it's in heaven and I'm on earth? Or if it's in Israel and I'm in America, how am I supposed to sit at that table? But if we understand it's metaphorical, a figurative statement, then we understand how all Christians, all who have come to the Lord, believe on Jesus as the Son of God, repent of their sins, confess their faith in Him, and are baptized, how they then rise to walk in newness of life. The Lord adds them to the church, Acts 2:47. How folks from every station of life and every place on earth can sit at the table, because it's a spiritual thing. It's metaphor here for this work that's going on. And it's the same idea here, and I won't take away from you too much, but I mean, it's the same idea. Notice it's the table of devils, mm-hmm. the table of demons. Where's that table at?
Yeah.
Is it in hell? Well, no. It's the same principle.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, somebody says, I tell you where that table is. That table of devils, that's in Caneyville, I can tell you. Or that table of devils, that's in, you know, that's in some, you know, wherever. Well, no, it's not in just one spot. It wasn't just in Corinth. And think about what you brought up, Lanny. Here he is at Ephesus. Paul's at Ephesus writing the letter to the Corinthians. And the table's over at Corinth. Well, why is he at Ephesus? If that's where the table is.
Right.
You know, or if the devil table is over in Corinth, that might be my reason to stay away. But I have a sneaking suspicion you can find that table about anywhere.
Yeah. Now, let me throw in another thought on this real quick while we're on it. We got the one body stretching all the way around the world. We got the one table, which is not a literal table, but it stretches all the way around the world. It's a metaphorical table. But then we all sit at that table on one day, the first day of the week. Now, you and I were talking privately, and you made an interesting point about for 24 straight hours in this world, on the first day of the week, there's worship going on someplace. Worship mm-hmm. the Lord. And that is a fascinating thought. But to illustrate this, you know, here we are in a farming community. And back in the old days, I understand, I'm not a farmer, but I understand from talking that back in the old days, the old farmers would be out working, the women would be cooking, and sometimes they'd come in and eat in shifts. Mm-hmm. You know, some would come in and eat, and then they go back out and work, and another group would come in and eat, and they're eating from the same table.
Yeah.
Catch that. They're not eating at the same time, but they're eating from the same table.
Mm.
And so this kind of helps bring this concept out that I'm talking about. That we may not, you know, there may be some saints in Japan, there may be some saints in Russia, there may be saints here in the United States, but we're all sitting down at the same table. Maybe not at the same time, but the same table.
Isn't that fascinating? And yes, that's one thing that we see. And yeah, Lanny and I was talking about that because whenever I had the opportunity to go to Africa and worship with the saints in Africa, the time difference being such that we were done, we had our worship time and we're done, finished, and then over here it was just getting started, and I'd want to call my wife or something, and I thought, well, I can't do it right now because they're in their worship. And then it kind of opened my eyes up to that, and it was like, wait a minute, every nation, every hour of the day, and you could probably get more specific than that even, but every hour of the day, for a 24-hour period, there are God's worshipers, God's children, God's saints, Christians, worshiping God. This whole world vibrates with that worship for 24 solid hours. And just like you're saying, Lanny, we all came to the table. We didn't come at the same time, but we all came to the table. And when we did, to worship, and so I'm going to put that back on those who are listening. Were you at the table this Sunday? Think about that. Were you at the table? Or are you finding excuses not to be there? Does your preacher give you excuses not to come to the table? If not, why not? Why are we not there? What's going on? What's happening? Are we going to listen to what the Lord said? Are we going to listen to what is taught? And folks, we're just right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is deep stuff, isn't it? But here to be in the one body, there with at the one table, are you there? If not, why not? What's stopping you from being his child? What's stopping you from believing on him to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized like they did from Acts chapter 2 through Acts 19? What's stopping you? And what's stopping you from doing what the Lord said, and even here in this aspect of worship in the Lord's Supper or communion? Tell you what, I'm so thankful to be with you. So glad for our opportunity to be here and to study together. Maybe we can get Lanny to come back again here for long, and we'll try her again. But I'm so glad that you're here, Lanny and Jordan, and glad for you tuning in, my friend. We look forward to being with you next time, Lord willing.
You have been listening to The Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow at this time for another study from the Book of God.